Powerplay, der Eishockey-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden von Oberpfalz Medien.
Servus, liebe Eishockey-Freunde, zu Powerplay, dem Eishockey-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden. Mein Name ist Fabian Leb und bei mir ist auch heute wieder, oder nicht auch, das letzte Mal war er nicht dabei, mein allseits geschätzter Kollege Thomas Webel. Tom, welcome back.
Ja, servus Fabian.
Frank Werner hatte ich in der letzten Woche vertreten bei der Folge mit Franz Fodermeier. Wie fandst du deinen Ersatz? Warst du zufrieden mit ihm? Bangst du um deinen Stammplatz?
Ja, um Gottes Willen. Meine einzigen Vorteile sind gewisse technische Kompetenzen. Ansonsten habe ich da jedes Nachsehen, aber ich hoffe, dass ein bisschen das Gewohnheitsrecht gilt.
Okay, und genug der Vorrede. Wir wollen halt nicht lang um den heißen Brei herumreden. Treue Powerplay-Hörer wissen, was los ist, wenn ich sage, heute steht wieder eine besondere Folge mit einem besonderen Gast an. Ich will gar nicht ins Detail gehen, sondern wechsle sofort in die englische Sprache, weil sich unser heutiger Gast in seiner Muttersprache einfach wohler fühlt, auch wenn er des Deutschen, wie man hört, durchaus fähig ist. Aber bei uns gilt es hier wie in der Gastronomie, der Gast ist König oder so ähnlich. It's a special time of the year for all hockey players, for all fans. It's playoff time, it's crunch time. And the start for the Blue Devils was quite good. 3 games, 3 wins against the Duisburg Füchse. Round of the last 16, check. And now the players and the coaches have to wait who will be the next opponent in the quarterfinals. That starts on Tuesday, the 28th of March. And after the third win over Duisburg on Tuesday, today is Thursday, the 23rd of March, Coach Sebastian Buchwieser gave the players 2 free days. So we are very, very lucky that our today's guest took the time to join our podcast on his free day. In this way, a very warm welcome to Mr. Over 800 games in the DEL, and that's Mr. Chad Bazin. Chad, nice to have you here, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
We already said it to Kurt Davis. It's the same to you, Chad. Sorry for my English. My last English lesson at school is quite a few days ago. I hope it doesn't hurt that much.
All good.
As we already mentioned, it's playoff time, and now you got 2 days free. What means free in your case? Is it running in the morning, some fitness in the afternoon, or is it really cool down and enjoy, okay, not today, but the sun?
I think it kind of depends on what time of year it is. Maybe earlier in the year, I would mix in a workout or do something. This time of year, I take it pretty easy. Today is just family day, just hanging out with the family, not doing much. Yesterday, I played a little bit of golf, but yeah, not doing a whole lot.
That would be a thing, playing golf, but you will hear it in the questions from your teammates.
Yeah.
And before we are going to talk about the 3 games against Duisburg, I would like to tell you from our episode with Elia Ostwald. After the recording, we were talking about the plans and the future guests in this podcast, and I said, wow, Chad Bazin would be a great guest for us. But we'll probably have to do it again in English, as we already did it with Kurt Davis. Do you want to know Elias' answer?
Yeah.
Chad is such a long time in Germany. He has a German wife. He speaks German very well. Chad should do this podcast in German. And now we are sitting here and talking in English. Why?
I do speak German, but it's not that great. So I think I'd embarrass myself more than anything. But I do communicate half decent. My wife is German, and so my parents-in-law don't speak any English, so okay. I have to speak German to them. So I do communicate in German, but maybe doing a podcast isn't the greatest way.
Okay, we are here in English, and as I said, I hope it doesn't hurt Ed as much.
No.
Tom! Oh, no. Before Tom will introduce our guest, he is born in 1983, and experts would say the best year to be born in, and I can say you that turning 40 years old, it doesn't hurt. It feels still like being 20 years old. But Tom, please introduce our today's guest.
At least if you behave like 20 year old. Our guest, if I got it correct, you played hockey from 2000 for the Regina Pats in the WHL, then also in the WHL Vancouver Giants. Then one of my favorite team names ever, the Medicine Hat Tigers.
Yeah,
perhaps you could explain a little bit why are they called Medicine Hat Tigers?
I'm not even sure why they're called Medicine Hat, but it's a great, great hockey city. It's not very big, but when I played there, they had a smaller rink, and the atmosphere was unbelievable every night, and it was a great place to play.
Okay, then the Everett Silver Tips, also WHL, and then you moved to Germany, and I think it's fair to say there are only few DL clubs you haven't played for.
Yeah.
You played from 2004 to 2020 for the Frankfurt Lions, Straubing Tigers, Hamburg Freezers, Augsburger Panther, Wolfsburg Grizzly Adams, Iserlohn Roosters and Nuremberg Ice Tigers. So quite a long time in the balletage of German hockey.
Yeah.
Then you played in Freiburg for the EHC, and then in 2021 you joined the Blue Devils.
Yeah.
And you also were the captain last season. Okay, so what Fabian just mentioned, quite a career.
Yeah.
Okay, but perhaps we can move further and talk a little bit about the playoff games against Duisburg. On March the 17th, we have had this 7-1 win over Füchse Duisburg. Looked more or less easy in the first period. Rubisch gave the Devils a 1-0 lead with a brilliant solo, really great play. Then Tilchi with the 2-0, Luca Glaser in the second period with the 3-0 in power play. And then early in third period, Duisburg scored the first time this evening and also the first time, of course, in this series. Was this a moment when you thought that game could become tied again, or were you totally sure that'll be a more or less easy victory?
I think it was 3-1 for a little bit there, and it was fairly tight. And then I think once we got a couple more goals, you could feel the game kind of change a little bit, and then it was pretty much over. The next game was a little bit different, obviously. That first game was, at some point, it just was a bit of a runaway.
Yeah, just to finish it off with Tilch Davis and Luca Glaser with two more goals.
Yeah.
At the end, it was a 7-1 win. And the statistics were really, really impressive. The shot statistics, 56 shots for the Devils, 8. For Duisburg Füchse, so that was really very impressive. But Coach Buchwieser, after this game, he told us and he told the other journalists, things will look very different in Duisburg. And I think it's fair to say he was right. Fabian?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, he was right. It was a totally different game in Duisburg. In the first period, Heinisch scored the 1-0 early in the game, but then Duisburg scored twice. Nado Nachtsam tied the game 2-2, but then Duisburg scored again twice, taking a 4-2 lead. And there were discussions about the fourth goal for Duisburg. Was it in? Did it hit the bar? How did you realize this scene?
When I saw it, I thought for sure it wasn't in. Just by the angle, I was sitting on the bench and I was watching it clear as day, just crossbar and out, but I don't know. Maybe the ref had a different angle. I'm not sure what happened, but I thought, and I didn't want to be biased one way or another, but just by the shot angle, I thought it wasn't a goal. So
I watched it 100 times, now I'm sure it wasn't in.
Yeah.
But, I think it has been some time since you were down 2 goals, and what exactly hadn't worked in Duisburg till this moment?
Yeah, it was a bit of a different feeling. I thought we had a pretty good start. First few shifts were pretty good. We got the first goal. We were up 1-0. And then maybe we thought it would be kind of like the same the first game a little bit. I'm not sure what happened, but they just started to gain momentum. And they got a couple goals, and then we got one, then they got a couple more. And so we were down in third there, and it was it was looking a little bleak for a while, but like we've kind of done all year, we've got the right goals at the right time and some big goals by some guys, and we got the win.
Nardo Nachtsam scored again, 3-4.
Yeah.
Luca Glaser tied it 4-4, and some fans were already prepared themselves for the overtime, but just 2 minutes before the end of the game, the Devils had a power play once again. Kurt Davis to the slap shot at the blue line. And Neil Zamansky deflected the shot.
Yeah.
5-4 to the Devils. Was this the moment you knew we'll win this series 3-0, or did you think Duisburg could come back in Weiden? No. No.
I didn't really have the feeling, though. I thought that was going to be the game, if anything, you know, like I knew they'd play different. I knew it'd be a different game in Duisburg. It was the same as last year in the first round. It was always different on the road. So once we got that win, you know, once we came back and got it, then I knew we would close it out at home.
And Coach Buchwieser, he said after the game, it was the expected tight game. We patiently played the last power play, but at the end of the day, Duisburg gave everything they had, but it wasn't enough. And Duisburg's coach, he was on fire. he called the refs two imbeciles who decided the game.
Yeah,
I suppose you got another opinion, or can you understand his €1,000?
I'm not sure. I don't know. They did get a free goal, so I'm not sure how how it went either way, but is what it is.
And Tom?
Yeah, then third game of the series, March 21st. In the first period, there were no goals. Why? This is very unusual for you guys to don't score in the first period.
Yeah, I'm not sure why, actually. I think they're a funny team, you know. They got a really good first line. So that gave them some momentum. That first line was in our zone for a lot that first period. So maybe that had something to do with it. But it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. And yeah, then we kind of turned it on after that.
Yeah, and you did turn it on in the second period. Yeah. you had Heinisch with a 1-0, then TG Davis and Homiakovs with a 4-0 lead. And then for Duisburg in the third period, just one goal for honor. But of course, that didn't change anything. You won the series in a impressive way, I'd like to say.
But now there are 3 days. And before we will talk about the quarterfinals, the memories of events of Hanover Indians and his big career of Chad Basson, we will have a short commercial break.
Servus, mein Name ist Matthias Schäckelmann und zusammen mit meinem kongenialen Partner Julian Trager habe ich den Podcast Fehlpass. Beim Fehlpass geht es um Amateurfußball von der B-Klasse bis zur Bayernliga. Bei uns geht es um die Kreisklassen-Ronaldos, um alles, was am Wochenende so los war und andere interessante Themen rund um den Fußball. Also auschecken auf Instagram unter Fehlpass Podcast und auf allen gängigen Streaming-Plattformen.
Welcome back to Powerplay, the Blue Devils podcast, with our guest Chad Basson. Chad, in the quarterfinals, the Devils could meet again the Hanover Indians, as they did it already in the last playoff quarterfinal, with a better end for Hanover. Which memories do you have of the last year's series with the Indians?
Yeah, I remember it was pretty hard. They were a pretty good team. It was pretty intense, actually. I didn't know what to expect. And not easy playing in their rink either. So that's all I kind of remember.
You played at least a leading role because you've got blocked one day after the game 4, I think it was.
Yeah.
And if it really comes against the Indians, do you have any thoughts like revenge?
I'm not sure. It's obviously we want to win every series. Mm. So, and they did get the best of us last year. So maybe a little bit, but, I think it's two different teams this year. We're a much different team. So maybe a little bit, we'll see how it goes and who we end up playing.
It's not clear, who you will be playing against in the quarterfinals. Do you know, do you watch the other games to the possible opponents?
I haven't watched any live games. I've just kind of been keeping tab on the scores a little bit. And it is interesting to see, you know, find out who you're going to play next. And when you're waiting like this, you're kind of interested for sure.
If it was up to you, And you could make just a wish?
I don't know. I don't really care. Actually, no preferences at this point. Just waiting on the opponent and ready to go, actually. Pretty excited for the next round.
Tom?
How's this Devil team different from other teams you've played in before? What is the specific strength or perhaps also the weaknesses of this team?
I think when we've been healthy, we've had four really solid lines. I don't know if I've had this depth even in my DL career or other teams I played on, like four lines that could play against anyone, really. So I think that's our biggest strength. And we play hard, we work hard, so I think that's big, yeah.
When it comes to training, what are the aspects you personally focus most on? What's the most important in training for you as a player?
I think it's changed over the years a lot from when I was, say, 21, 22. I would train like an absolute maniac back then. I've been in good shape my whole life, and I still take pride in that. But it's changed as I've gotten older. I really have to take care of my body in different ways. Lots of rolling out and stretching and more flexibility and not so much just getting under the heavy, heavy weights and trying to build the big muscle like I used to when I was younger. So just look after my body that way and make sure I'm feeling good by the time game time comes, for sure.
Now you are an experienced player. And what are you trying to teach the younger teammates? How do you talk to them?
I think some of that stuff. I like talking about that stuff, just training and nutrition and health and how you got to live. I've learned that just a ton of that. And I wish I had learned this stuff when I was 21, 22, that it makes just a huge difference in your athletic performance when you're looking after your body and treating your body right and training the right way. That can just make the world a difference.
You got also a lot of playoff experience with the Grizzlies. Adams Wolfsburg, you made it into the semifinals 2013-14. What are the things, what are the abilities that really matter during the playoffs?
I think it's, can you take your game to the next level? You know, regular season is one thing, but when you get to playoffs and you start getting further, like next round's going to be way more intense than our first round. I know that already. So can you take your game to the next level? Can you become a better player, a better teammate, you know, help your team win in different ways than what you're normally doing?
And you've seen many coaches, their work, their speeches to the team. Can you please characterize and analyze for us your actual coach, Coach Sebastian Buchwieser? What makes him so special, and how would you describe your relationship?
I think he's very structured, and we have the systems down pat. He's very good with video and analyzing and getting players to play the right way, the way he wants. So I think he's great that way. As for him and I, it's been fine. It's, you know, it's a working relationship, I would say. And I just try my best to do what he wants me to do. It's been a little different this year. I played right wing, where I don't know if I played that my entire year. So okay. It's been a little bit different that way, but it's been good.
And you've played over a very long period in the highest German hockey league. You will turn 40 years old in the next month. Is Weiden and the potential move up into the DL2, is this the final episode of your career?
It's coming near the end for sure. I think I'd like to play one or two more years, maybe longer, but maybe not. I think next year I'll hit 20 years and 1,000 games, and that's a pretty cool benchmark to do in professional hockey. So I definitely like to do one more, possibly two.
Will you celebrate the benchmark in Weiden?
I hope so. I don't know. I don't know at this point. Mm-hmm. I do love this city and I do love playing here, so we'll see.
Can you imagine any challenges that stimulate your motivation in a new way, or do you want to end the career in Weiden?
I think it's I don't see that outside of here. I'm not sure at this point, like where my career is going to go, but I love the challenge right now, still being 39 and being challenged by trying to win this championship and move up to the second league. I think if I got to my career and there was no challenge, then I might have retired by now. But when I got the call to come to Vyden, it was pretty much from day one, you know, the challenge is to win the championship and move. That's what they want to do here in Vyden. And I thought that was pretty interesting and appealing to me. So that's why I came here.
Tom, let's have a look to the private chat.
The private chat. basically, what are your plans for the future after playing professional hockey? What do you want to do?
I kind of got two ways to go. I'm not sure. I would love to stay in hockey. I'd love to get into possibly coaching. But maybe more as of an assistant coach and a player development kind of role. And I would love to do that with younger players who are trying to become better, working on skating and skills. I think I could have a big impact on skating and nutrition and fitness and just developing young players. Like I said, when I was younger, I didn't quite get that. I did have some help and I had some great coaching, but I didn't have that specific aspect. And I just wish I had had that and had the knowledge of nutrition and taking care of your body. And I think it would have made the world a difference in the long run.
Okay, this is more or less a job interview now. But could you imagine to keep living in Vyden? You just said you really love the city.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Assistant coach of Sebastian Buchmann.
I think they have one already. He does a good job too. But I do love the city. It's me and my wife really love it here. So who knows?
Okay, but you will in the one day, one way or another, be connected to hockey in the future.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, yeah.
It's your second year in Vyden, and we already heard you love the city. Do you have a favorite places to relax, to chill out, to drink a coffee?
We have a few spots downtown. We live right close to downtown there, so we're down there every day. Just, have a coffee at a cafe or walk around. It's not the biggest city in the world, but yeah, very nice little city.
And from all the cities you played and lived in, which one is your favorite and why?
And you don't have to say Vyden. You really can be very honest.
If I was to be honest, I loved my time in Nuremberg. I loved the city. I loved the rink and the fans. And that place was, we had an amazing team. Just everything just made me feel really at home. And I loved playing there.
It's not so far away.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you travel to Nuremberg?
We do, yeah. We have been there a few times each year. I still have friends on the team and we like going and having dinner or a coffee, walking downtown there. We went to the opening night game this year, so I've been back a couple times, yeah.
We will have a question from Nuremberg later on. And what does Chad Bazin when he's not on the ice?
During the year, not a whole lot. You mean summers or?
Whenever.
And winter and
yeah.
Autumn, spring.
I'm a golf nut, so like I just golf a ton in the summer and train and in the winters I'm dreaming about golfing. My dad is a golf pro back in Canada, so I was born playing golf all summer and hockey all winter.
Okay, and in the preparation for this episode, I've read that you've German family relationship. Is this correct? Can you explain?
Yeah, I think the whole extended family is up in Hanover, all the Bassens, and
Hanover.
Yeah, and my uncle Mark came over years ago and played as an import, and then he found out that we could get our German passports. So he played under his German passport for a year, and then it was very simple for me to actually get it because of him coming over. So,
okay, and before we come to the questions from the fans and teammates, I have a very good suggestion to you.
All right.
in that case, that the Blue Devils will play in the DL2 in the next season, You will come to another episode of this podcast together with Kurt Davis.
Yeah.
And we will talk no single word in English. Deal?
I could probably get by. You could probably understand what I'm trying to say, but it wouldn't be perfect. Sure.
Yeah, no. Our English is not perfect too. And Luca Gläser will sing a soccer anthem.
Yeah.
Marco Wolf will do a rap song. And Franz Vollmeier, get shaved.
Talking about Luca Gläser, his German is not as good as well.
Okay. Now, Tom.
Coming to the question from the fans. Fans and perhaps the one or the other teammate, who knows?
Yeah.
But I think the first question really is from a fan. What's the meaning of your number, the 61?
At this point in my career, it has a big meaning to me. I've worn it for many years now. I don't know why exactly I started. I think I was sitting home, and it's just a funny story. I was sitting home in Canada watching a hockey game, and Max Afinaganov played for Buffalo, and my dad just sat there, and he's like, "Man, you skate exactly like Max Afinaganov," I was like, that's kind of a cool number. So I started wearing it, and it's been part of me ever since.
What does it mean when you touch the ice after the end of the game?
When we win or lose?
It's a question from, I can say, perhaps.
Well, I have amazing feeling when we win, and I'm not the happiest guy when we lose.
No ritual, so. It's no ritual or something.
No, nothing.
Then we have a question from a guy called Tony Maroney.
Okay.
Who has the worst beard growth in the team?
Oh, man, I'd have to think about that. Who doesn't grow one very well? I'm not sure if Ozzy grows a beard, does he? I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Philip?
Yeah, maybe Phil. Yeah, exactly. Phil. Yeah.
Okay, then someone called Nardo Nachsam, I don't know.
Never heard of.
Do you still think Nardo is the top golfer in the team?
After yesterday, absolutely not.
Can you explain? It was so bad.
No, it wasn't that bad. He hit lots of good shots. I think, yeah, Kurt Davis is the best at this moment.
Okay. At this moment.
Okay, then it's a question about you missing your time in Nuremberg, but I think we already talked about Nuremberg and you really liked it there. So perhaps we just move on to the next question. Why did you initially started to play hockey? What were the reasons?
I loved it at a very, very young age. I think my parents said as soon as I could walk, I was on the ice skating. So I just fell in love with it at a young age. And my whole family comes from a hockey background. My grandpa played years in the NHL, 9 or 10 years in the NHL. And then my Uncle Bob played like 16 years in the NHL. So I was around it a lot growing up at a very young age. So I was just fascinated with it.
And there's a question from someone inside this room. Your grandfather, Hank, and your uncle, Bob, played in the NHL. Were you also close to it?
I was very close to it, yeah. Very close to them as well. Obviously, I didn't see my grandpa play, but I saw videos. And then, what's that?
When did he play?
He played in the 50s and 60s, I believe. Yeah, he was a goalie. He played for Detroit, Chicago, and Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my Uncle Bob played. And then when he was playing, I was around the NHL a lot. Anytime he would come to Calgary, I'd be at every game. And then he played a year in Calgary, and I was there all the time for practices and games. And I was a little kid running around in the dressing room, so I absolutely loved it.
Fabian, I think the next question you have to ask.
No. How can you be so fit in your age? What a bad question.
I think I just at some point got immersed in that lifestyle. Like I said, when I was younger, I would train like crazy, but I I really had no method to my madness. I would just train like crazy and I'd be in good shape, but I would be, I don't know, something was off a little bit, you know? And then once I played in Augsburg, I got really immersed in the lifestyle, just eating super healthy and getting my diet dialed in and training hard and smart. And ever since those Augsburg years, I've just studied it like crazy, kind of got my routine and I stick with it.
Tom, the last question is for you.
Last question is for me. Okay. How would you celebrate when the Devils move up to the DL2? What would you do?
Oh, I think it'd be a pretty good celebration. that's what we're trying to achieve. And that'd be a great accomplishment if we can get it done. So I'm not sure exactly how, but it would be a good celebration.
And a long one, perhaps, too.
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit more than half an hour. Perfect landing, I would say.
Awesome.
Big thank you to Chad Besson. And
thanks a lot.
We wish you...
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was fun.
We're wishing you good luck and all the best for the quarterfinals against Hannover, against...
Yeah, we'll see.
We will see. Devils will do it in three. Okay, kurz zurück in Deutsch. Wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder, wenn wir dann wissen, wer der Gegner ist. Dann ist das erste Spiel schon absolviert am Dienstag. Und dann schauen wir mal, wann wir eine Podcast-Folge und mit wem nächste Woche unterbekommen. Bis dahin, ich hoffe, es hat nicht allzu sehr geschmerzt, unser Englisch. Bis dahin, alles Gute, drückt mal den Devils die Daumen. Bis nächste Woche. Macht's gut. Ciao, ciao.
Servus, ciao.
Powerplay, der Eishockey-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden von Oberpfalz Medien.